Welcome to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. And now, experience the good life today.
Aloha, this is Lani Ka'a'a here for Danny Yamashiro, sitting in at the studio for the day. Welcome to the Good Life Show. We're here to help you unleash your God-given purpose. How does a woman in an abusive relationship become a force for God in the mission field? Today, you will hear a story of a very brave woman who did just that. Jessica Harrison is an executive chef, a businesswoman, an author, a prayer warrior, and a missionary. Her life story is one of courage, humility, and obedience to the voice of her Father in heaven. We pause to remind you the reason that we have the Daily Good Life radio show. It's to lead you to Jesus Christ, because there is only hope in Him. No matter what you're going through, know that He died on the cross for your sins and for mine, shed His blood on the cross, was buried, and raised up on the third day. Today He is calling you. Jessica Harrison was born in Durban, South Africa, 20 years after apartheid would come to an end. She was raised in a loving Hindu family, the fourth of five children. She has a degree in theology from Christian International and has been a missionary for Youth with a Mission. Her love for cooking has led her to start her own catering company here in Hawaii called Jessie's Thai and Indian Sauces. She is also the author of a prayer book and a cookbook entitled International Spices in Authentic Flavors. Welcome to the Good Life Show, Jessica.
Thank you.
Jessica, it's so good to have you. And I've read a bit of your story, and I just would love to hear more. So let's start where you started. Where did you grow up?
I grew up in Durban, South Africa. That's where I was born. Yeah. And it's called Reservoir Hills. That's where I went to school. And that's where I lived all my life until 24 years ago.
Very good. You could just grab that. There we can hear your voice. When you were growing up, who would you say was your greatest influence?
My parents.
Mm-hmm. And they were?
My parents were Hindu. Mm-hmm. And Indian, we are, our parents say to us, that's what we do. Mm-hmm. There's no question about it. So, it was, my parents were very loving, and, we had a very tight family net. Mm-hmm. So, I grew up in an amazing, loving family.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's so good. And you're the fourth?
Yes.
Of five children?
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And are they all girls or?
I have an elder brother, and then my brother Tony, then my sister Rajas, and my brother Ivan that I just went to the Lord a month ago, and then it's me, and then my brother Mark.
Mm. So what was it like being that fourth of five kids, being part of such a tribe?
I think it's probably a little bit difficult to be the center kid because you're always, maybe you always missed out. But, you try to get the attention of your parents. But, I had my mom was always at home, so mm-hmm. There was we always had mm-hmm. her there, and my dad was a businessman, mm-hmm. and so he was always at work. So I think that as the third fourth kid, I drew a lot of attention to my dad. I was that one that forced, you know, and got my dad's attention. Mm. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's mm-hmm. awesome. And you grew up Hindu.
Yes.
And that's different than today for you.
Yes.
And so what was it like growing up Hindu?
I grew up very staunch Hindu. I was sent to Tamil school from probably 7 years old and, followed the Hindu religion very staunchly. And I took it very, very strong. I was a very strong Hindu, even as a 10-year-old kid. Mm. I remember, and all my cousins around me were Christians. And I remember one day a cousin of mine walked into our home and she tried to talk to me about Jesus. Mm. And at 10 years old, as she spoke to me about Jesus, I began to kind of pray and in my mind, not hearing what she was saying. Huh. And when I think about it now, it's kind of baffling to me. At 10 years old, I would do something like that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So,
what do you think prompted that praying?
I think that as a Hindu, you think of Christians being kind of, as a Hindu, you think that Jesus is dead. You know, that they are praying to someone that's dead.
Mm.
So, I think Hindus have a very negative view of Christianity.
Mm.
And so I think that's why, it was not even a thought about even listening to what she had to say to me.
Oh. And you say that you grew up in a staunch Hindu house,
mm-hmm.
but you were surrounded by Christians in your environment there in that country. Is that common? Is that common?
In South Africa we have a lot of religions.
Mm-hmm.
There's there's a lot of Muslims, Christians. There's there's Hindus and there's so many different sects of Hindus mm-hmm. and so it's very common. It's mm-hmm. very common. But I think everyone tries to hold on to their religion and to hold on to their belief systems.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I know that you have so much to tell us and I want to ask you more about how you became a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
And how that whole experience affected you. Just to go back a little bit, how did your mother and father influence your religion, your Hinduism, and how did they view Christianity?
My mother was very negative about Christianity.
Mm.
She had no tolerance for Christianity, absolutely not. Her sister was a Christian, and as a kid, I remembered that every time she would meet her sister, she would get into an argument mm-hmm. with her, and so for us, Christianity was very negative, And so, I don't think. I saw my dad as stronger than my mom, just being very anti-Christian.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Did that play a role in the way that your brothers and sisters responded to the faith?
Yes, definitely, mm-hmm. definitely.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So you became a Christian.
Yes.
And I'd love to talk more about how you became a Christian. If you could share that.
Yeah. I was married to a Hindu man at 16 years old, and really, really young. And at that time, it was normal, to be married at 16 years old, 16, 17 years old. And he was very, very abusive. Mm-hmm. And we were married for 9 years. Wow. And I was in this abusive marriage for 9 years. And this was, I had attempted to commit suicide 2 times. And my first time that I tried to commit suicide, I was 18 years old. And someone told me that he was having an affair, and I attempted suicide, but I was saved from that, and it was very tragic. I actually hung myself because I found out that he was having an affair, and my brother found me, and I was in hospital for a few weeks, ICU, and I came out of it. But the doctors told my parents that even if I came out of it, I would be a vegetable. And one day walking in the ward of the hospital, I just snapped out of it, and I was like, what am I doing here? And my parents, because of being a Hindu, you should not get divorced because it's a shame to your family.
Mm.
So I was expected to stay in that marriage and continue to live with my husband. And 9 years later, he had another affair with my best friend.
Wow.
And at this time, it was just heartbreaking. I was shattered, and I was in a place of hopelessness. And at the same time, he was so abusive that he had kicked me in my stomach, and I had a lot of pain. And the next day, I went to the doctor, and they found out that I had very early stages of cancer.
Oh, I'm gonna break in right there. We're gonna take a quick break because I really want to finish the story because it's an amazing and hopeful end. We're talking with Jessica Harrison, and we're gonna come back to the story of how she became a Christian. When we come back, she's gonna share more. Stay with us.
Lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. This involves exercise and a range of sporting activities. There are times, though, when injuries take place resulting from sports, work, or even the effects of age. In some cases, surgical care is necessary to facilitate proper healing. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Palimomi and Kuakini. Dr. Calvin Oishi has treated patients with the compassion, care, and expertise second to none. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, 484-2042, 484-2042.
There was a time when filling up your gas tank was a full-service experience. The attendant would look under your hood, check your oil and water, check your tires, and wipe your windows, all while your tank's being filled. Burt's Union Service Station on School Street still does it. They also provide auto repair services with master mechanics to give your car the needed fixing to keep it going a long time so your dollars stretch with a lasting, smoothly running vehicle. Visit them today. Burt's Union on School Street.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
Welcome back. This is Lani Ka'a'a sitting in here in studio for Danny Yamashiro today, having an amazing conversation with Jessica Harrison. Jessica's story is one of triumph over tragedy. We're going to continue a talk about that, but before we do, I just want to mention that if you'd like to hear today's entire program, or you'd like to share it with somebody you feel would really benefit from it, go to thegoodlifehawaii.com. That's thegoodlifehawaii.com, where you can listen to it in full, download it, and you can share it with others. We hope you will. We hope this message touches you and changes your life. We're talking again to Jessica Harrison. She was married at the age of 16, which was a very common 20 years ago or so in the Hindu culture. 30 years. Jessica was caught in a marriage that was somewhat prearranged, but ended up being a very abusive relationship. She shared before the break that she came to a point of such hopelessness and entrapment that she tried to kill herself by hanging herself. And God saved her from that for a purpose. She's here with us today, but we want to continue on that story. You had just begun to tell us about sort of the ultimate in the abusive situation and how that moment happened.
Yeah, so the second time I tried to commit suicide, when I found out that my ex-husband was having an affair with my best friend. As I said, he was very abusive, and he kicked me in my stomach, and I found out that went to the doctor the next day, had pain all night, and they'd found out that I had very early stages of cancer in my uterus, and I had to have a emergency hysterectomy. And I came out of that. By then, the day that I had found out that I had cancer in my uterus, that was the same day that I got served with a divorce summons. So it was like a rug pulled out from under me. Mm-hmm. And I was in the place of hopelessness. My heart was crushed. I was had no will to live. And I just felt like I just needed to end this whole thing. Mm-hmm. And my ex-husband came in. By then he had left the home. And I had two little kids, and so I'd had my hysterectomy and came out of hospital and had a whole bunch of tablets, and he came in and we had this huge argument, and he said, "Why are you living? Why don't you just kill yourself?" And he grabbed my son and he went off, but my daughter wouldn't go with him. So he left, and I decided to take all the tablets that I had, mm-hmm. where the hospital had just given me. and had taken it. And my daughter found me collapsed, and that's how they called it, you know. And so I was in 3 days and three nights. I was in hospital and in ICU, and when I came out of that, I was absolutely disappointed because I wanted to be dead. And I have an auntie that was there at the hospital, and she told my mom, I probably have a spirit of suicide over me, to call some pastors to come and pray for me. And my mom, just being so anti-Christian, you know, she tried everything she in the Hindu stuff, and nothing worked. And she was totally desperate. And so she agreed for those pastors to come and pray for me. So the day that I went back home, those pastors came and they prayed for me. And I, you know, I was, my heart was totally closed because I was not interested. So they asked me if they could pray for me. And I thought, well, you know, I'm going to try killing myself anyway. So, and I said, I thought to myself, well, I'm just going to get rid of them. I'm going to let them pray for me and, you know, and so they'll leave. And so I had no idea what they were doing. So anyway, apparently at that time, they led me into a the sinner's prayer. And so they left, you know, and the next day when I woke up, I felt this peace that came over me that I could not understand. I had no idea. Everything around me was falling apart. But this peace, and I just couldn't understand. And a day later, a cousin of mine came and invited me to church. And I thought, I don't want to go to church, you know. So, but I didn't want to say no to him, so I didn't want to hurt him. So I was like, okay, I'll just go. And so I went, and went and sat right in the back of the church. And so the pastor was preaching this message, and when you talk about spiritually blinded and spiritually deafened, that was me. I sat in that service, and I heard absolutely nothing. Like, it went just over my over my head, you know. And at the end of the message, he gave an altar call, and I sat there, and the only thing I could remember he said that came to me, and I had never been to church before, never read the Bible. He had spoken about the lady with the issue of blood. When she touched the hem of Jesus' garment, she was healed. And I sat in my seat, and I said, I don't know who you are, but if you are real, then come and touch my heart and come and heal me, and I'll give you my life forever. And I had no goosebumps, and I didn't know who this God was, and I didn't even know if he was real. But I found myself getting up and walking down the aisle. And I walked down there, and someone prayed for me. And I remember this lady praying for me. I can't remember what she prayed, but I remember her saying, when you go home, pray just in the name of Jesus. Because as a Hindu, we have 365 million gods. And so I thought, well, I'll try it. Why not? Got nothing to lose. So 2 days later, I was home, and I prayed a prayer. And within 5 minutes of me praying that prayer, the prayer got answered. And I was like, no way. This is coincidence. So I decided to pray another prayer. And the prayer got answered. And I was like, oh my word, this God is real. He hears my prayer and He answers my prayer. This is what I have been looking for all my life. Mm-hmm. I am never going to let go of this God. And my parents, I found an old King James Version in my parents' home, and I don't know where that came from. And I began to read the Bible, and it was like the Bible came alive to me. It was like those scriptures were just jumping out of the Bible, and God was speaking to me, and it became absolutely real. Mm. And everything that I was going through, I was hooked at that time of astrologers and just wanting to know my future. And God spoke to me through His Word, and He was like, "It's me that is speaking to you." And I began to hear God speak to me, and I was like, "Oh my word! I don't need all the stuff," because He was speaking to me, and that's how I became to know that He was real, and I just got a hold of Him, and I didn't think about committing suicide. I didn't think about just. He began to make every day real to me, and that's the way from the beginning go. I began to hear God's voice,
and that's great.
And that's how I began to walk with God.
You know, I listen to you, and God's plan is so real. I hear in your voice that even kicking and screaming and not wanting to go and not believing and thinking that Jesus was a dead person, He got your attention anyway. Mm-hmm. All you were was available. Mm-hmm. And people came around you, and God used them. And He can use people around any one of us, no matter where we are, to bring us to know Him, because that's His whole goal.
That's true.
When we come back, we're going to talk about some of the triumph, the missionary work, the great work that Jessica has done since that salvation. Stay with us.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky, leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Have you heard the stories on the Good Life Hawaii radio show with Danny Amashiro and his guests?
Yup, I listen to Danny's show every day. Those testimonies inspire me in my life at work, with my family, and in my relationship with God.
Did you ever visit thegoodlifehawaii.com? There's all kinds of resources there. Danny Amashiro has interviewed hundreds of guests on subjects like parenting, business, relationships, depression, overcoming addiction, hope, and so much more.
As a matter of fact, I have. Did you know there are videos where Danny prays for your family, your finances, even a video I've used to help lead my friends to Christ?
Wow. And I hear Danny is offering special opportunities and benefits for his Good Life Partnership Club members.
Yep. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and remember to connect with Danny on Facebook. Follow him on Twitter, too. That's Danny Yamashiro.
I'm going to visit thegoodlifehawaii.com today.
Do you need a specialist in cosmetic dentistry? Someone who can bring the best in you from the inside out? Let Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa help you. His warmth, compassion, and expertise provides all the assurance needed for your dental needs. Visit Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry in Kaneohe. Call him at 235-4525 to make an appointment today. That's 235-4525. Or visit jeffmiyazawa.com. Windward Family Dentistry, where a lifetime of smiles is created. Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii radio show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ Is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter, or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
Aloha Lani Ka'a'a, sitting in here at the studio for Danny Yamashiro, having a great conversation with Jessica Harrison. Jessica's born in South Africa. We talked a bit about in the first few segments about her growing up years as a staunch Hindu. We talked a bit about being put into a somewhat prearranged marriage that turned very abusive. 9 years of enduring that and trying to continue to live that Hindu faith of staying married through all things. And finally coming to a place of wanting to not live anymore and truly being on a mission to not live anymore, believing that Jesus was dead and that being dead herself was a better place to be for her, that sense of hopelessness. Such an amazing story we just heard in the last segment of God getting her attention. And Jessica will talk more about what she's done since she's met the Lord, but just how great the Lord is as he works to bring all of us sheep back into his sheepfold, no matter what, whether we are paying attention or we don't even want to listen. He will do what only he can do. I want to continue our conversation, but know that if you would like to hear this whole program, you can go to thegoodlifehawaii.com. You can listen to it again, download it, share it with someone who needs to hear this message. So Jessica, you talked about the Lord being able to call you out of that abusive relationship. Were there challenges when you got out of that relationship? And what were the challenges as a new believer in South Africa, in your family that was staunch Hindu, and how did you come to the United States?
I think my challenge was I think in the beginning when I began to walk with God, I realized that my cousins around me. So my thought, I didn't know how to be a Christian. Mm-hmm. So I thought, well, hanging out with my cousins was going to be okay. You know, what they did was going to be fine. And so I would go and hang out with them, not realizing that they were clubbing and they were doing the stuff that the world did. And so one day I was sitting in a club. It was my birthday. My brother took us out. And I was, I had a drink in front of me and I just felt like, why am I here? I don't want to be here. I don't feel like I want to do this. And that was the end of me even going to a club. That's because, and I didn't realize that my cousins were Christians, but they weren't walking the walk that a Christian should walk. Mm-hmm. It was the Spirit of God inside of me saying that you don't have to be in this darkness. Mm. And that was the end of that. And I think with my family, they saw the change in me, that I mean, God came and changed me from the inside out. Mm. And all I desired to go is to go to church, to go to Bible study, and that was it. And I didn't have any friends because I couldn't even trust anyone because of my best friend, you know, taking my ex-husband. And so it was just hanging out with God. Mm. I lost myself in the Father, and the Holy Spirit was my best friend. For years, I for a few years, God called me to run my dad's business while we were in South Africa, and then God called me to Bible school. So I went to Bible school, and then after Bible school, I felt God call me to the United States, and He called me here as an entrepreneur and a missionary. And that was really difficult for me to leave everything behind and come, but I did, and I came to the United States, and God was calling me to Hawaii.
Wow.
And I'd never been to Hawaii, and so you know, going back, when I did want to come to the United States a few years before that, I was turned down 7 times for my visa to come to the United States.
Wow.
And so I, you know, obviously God didn't want me to come at that time, because I wanted to come to the United States and do Bible school. But eventually, you know, that desire just died inside of me, and went to Bible school in South Africa. And and so when He was calling me, I didn't really want to come here, but I did, and I moved to Hawaii. I actually came to Hawaii with not much money at all, just being obedient and coming to Hawaii. And where I was here I was here for probably 2 years, and prior to me coming to Hawaii, when I was in Bible school, I had to leave my dad's business to come to Bible school, and I was running a business on the side, just buying clothing and selling going to Thailand and doing it just as a hobby. And when God called me to Bible school, I did not know how I was going to support myself, or how God was going to supply and provide for me. But I God spoke to me, and he said to me that if you would be obedient to go to Bible school, I would take care of what you're going to eat and what you're going to drink.
Wow.
Because I was telling everyone how good God was, but I was so scared to take the plunge and not know how I was going to take care of myself. So I left the business, and I decided to go to Bible school, and didn't know how I was going to pay for it. And God said, now you can go I'm going to open the doors for you to go to Thailand and do business, buy clothing and sell, and I will give you what you need to eat and drink and pay your mortgage and do whatever.
Wow.
And so that's what God did.
Mm.
And so when it was time for me to come to the United States, I had met a flight engineer that lived in Hawaii, in Thailand, and as a friend, I used to live in this hotel and always evangelize all these people in the hotel, and So I met this flight engineer, and he thought I was a nun. And anyway, he kept in contact with me, and he invited me. He said, "Hey, you should come to Hawaii if you're coming to the United States." And you know, and I did not want to come. You know, going back, I was single for 10 years.
Mm.
I was not interested in a relationship. Mm. I just fell in love with Jesus, you know, and was not interested. But God had put that desire, you know, my prayer was so many times, God, you know, I would be single for you for the rest of my life and serve you. Mm-hmm. But God put this desire in my heart to be married and to meet someone. And I really fought that, you know. And mm-hmm. for 10 years I was single and I was happy. And then I was like, okay, God, I'm ready now. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you know, God's ways are not your ways. And you know, when I did want to meet someone, I was not meeting. I took the plunge. I decided to come to the United States. But when I was in Bible school, all my Bible school friends were saying to me, you know, knew about the friend that I had in Hawaii, and they said, "Are you going into the devil's den?" Mm. And I was like, "No, I'm not going for him. You know, I'm just going to Hawaii." You know, and so I bought a ticket, airline ticket, and I got to LA, and I said, "Lord, I'm not going to Hawaii." Mm. And I called a relative, and when I got to the airport, and they would not pick up the phone. I mean, they did pick up the phone, but they said that they did not know who I was because I did a collect call. Anyway.
I'm going to come back to your story because, again, it's very good. But I'm dying to hear how you actually got to Hawaii. And what's so amazing is that you allow God to lead even though you might not agree. And even though others around you might be misdirecting you, you wait for the Father's voice. And I think that's so important in a testimony like yours, to understand that God's voice has to be the loudest voice, not your own and not your friends and family. But it's God's voice that has led you every step of the way. So we'll come back and we'll hear more about your story. Stay tuned.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky, leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
In times of economic challenge, opportunities arise. All we need is someone to say, "I believe in you." Michael Beasley, a senior executive of Kaiani Team Aloha, has seen Kaiani products improve the quality of people's lives. Michael Beasley says Kaiani's mission is to empower people globally to experience better health, wealth, and a lot of fun. Contact Michael Beasley at 277-9528. Live outside the 9-to-5 workday. Become the CEO of your own business while Kaiani handles the details. That's Michael Beasley at 277-9528. 277-9528. Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. There are times when injuries take place. In some cases, surgical care is necessary. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Palimomi and Kuakini. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi at 484-2042, 484-2042.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how the Good Life Radio Show has made a difference in their lives, how they've shared our free podcasts with family and friends from thegoodlifehawaii.com. Others have connected on Facebook and Twitter. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. Thank you to Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station on School Street, Michael Beasley of Kaiani, Fran Villarmia Kahawai of Properties International Limited, Chinen and Arunaga Financial Group Incorporated, A1A Electrician, and orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi. To find out how to become a corporate sponsor, click Partners at thegoodlifehawaii.com. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show, on 99.5 The Word, weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight, providing opportunities to connect family and friends with Jesus Christ.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ Is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
Welcome back. This is Lani Ka'a'a sitting in for Danny Yamashiro today, hearing an amazing testimony of a life changed by Christ. Jessica Harrison started off in South Africa, was in an abusive marriage relationship. God saved her out of that, took her to Bible school in South Africa, which also was an amazing thing because all her life, Jessica only knew the Hindu religion, which really came into conflict with the Christian one. And so she is in Bible school, and then she feels a call to come to Hawaii. And so we're going to pick up where we left off after the last segment. Jessica, tell us about coming to Hawaii.
So I made the decision, and I came. I came to Hawaii, and I was here with the friend of mine, and I was here for 2 weeks, and he was just a friend. And at that time, I felt like God wasn't answering my prayers that I wanted. I was praying for a husband, I was here for 2 weeks, sleeping on his couch and as his guest, and he asked me to marry him.
What?
And I was in the place of, I want to be married, and yes, I'll get married to you.
Wow.
And God would not allow that man to marry me. He did not. We were supposed to be married in 2 weeks, and he was like, "We're going to get married in 2 weeks. Why don't you just move in with me?" And everything inside of me was saying no, but I was disobedient, and I did move in with him. And 2 weeks went to 6 months, and 6 months went to a year, and I was, "God, I'm living in sin." Mm-hmm. You know, and eventually I knew that it was 2 years, and I knew that this was not right. And so God did what he needed to do, and I broke it off and went back to South Africa. God was calling me back to South Africa, and at that time I'd only done half of my doing my bachelor's degree, and I'd still had some courses to finish, and God called me back to South Africa for 6 months. And when I went back to South Africa, I didn't realize I had 11 university courses to do in 6 months. And I did. God spoke to me, and he said, "You can do this." And so I studied for 18 hours a day. Wow. I locked myself in my sister's attic, and finished it within 6 months, got my bachelor's degree. And when I was finished, God said, "I want you to go back to Hawaii." And I said, "No." Mm-hmm. And he gave me Romans 10. He said, "If you don't go, how will they know? And if you don't speak, how will they hear?" And so I said, okay, everything inside of me was, "God, I don't want to go, but I'll be obedient." And I came back to Hawaii. And I came back so focused, and I was like, "I'll do everything you want me to do, Father." And so I was not interested in meeting anyone, not interested in anything. And I was just really focused in doing what God called me to do. And I went to a friend's, I went with a friend to her friend's going away party, and I met my husband there, which I was not looking for. And at that time I was wanted to start a restaurant, and I met my husband, and that was met him just as to start a business. And I was actually networking, and what happened was God had shown me to my husband like two times before that, and then the third time we spoke, and I was not interested, but God brought him into my life. And when we met, we knew he came over one day when I was working, and I sat him down and I told him the good, bad, and ugly about myself. Mm. And I wanted him to run.
Yeah.
And I told him, I've been divorced. I have children. I cannot have any more children. And I have a call to India. And I thought, I'm never going to see this man again. But he stuck around. And we met for a week. He left for six weeks. And with that 6 weeks, we prayed like we never prayed before to know if this was it. Because we knew he wasn't looking for a girlfriend. I was looking for a boyfriend. We knew it was. And he was gone in that 6 weeks training for a job. And he came back, and I knew God had given me the word, but he was still waiting. And we were at our church, and while we were at a church service, he was, I don't know what he was doing with his Bible. I think the pastor was speaking on Proverbs, and God gave him Proverbs 31, and God told him that I was his wife, and I was a Proverbs 31 woman. And within 3 months of us meeting, we actually got married. After he got that word, we got married. Wow. Probably the next week. Mm. And we opened a restaurant together 3 months later. And after a year, God called us into missions. Wow. With YWAM. Mm. And we were with YWAM for 8 years. We were in Fiji, we were in South Africa, we were in India, we were in Thailand. And so we served the Lord in those nations. Mm. And while God called me into different nations to go and pray over, I have a prophetic call to go and pray over nations. And so that was what God had called us to do. And God brought us back to the United States after 8 years of being in the mission field. And then God called us back to Hawaii after 2 years. Mm-hmm. And now we've been in Hawaii for 9 years.
Wow. Wow. It's a love story. I mean, your whole life. But isn't it amazing that God had a plan for you to be married to his choice?
Yes.
And even though you suffered, right?
Mm-hmm.
Even though you did have to go through a very difficult marriage,
mm-hmm.
marriage wasn't the issue. God's plan for marriage is perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And when it is God's call, it is right.
Yes.
And look what you have done. You know, some of our listeners are out there and they may be sitting in a space of waiting
mm-hmm.
for God's choice. Or maybe they've heard it and they're not wanting it.
Mm-hmm.
What do you say to someone like that?
I am saying to you, Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future." And if you can hold on to that hope and know God's character is real, is good, is faithful, is just, and he has the best for you. He doesn't want to give you second best. If you can wait for the best, then it's all worth it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I would say to you.
Mm-hmm. Such good words. God's words.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very well said. And then there's another request I would have of, because we know that in listening to this, there is somebody who is feeling hopeless.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe in an abused relationship, maybe in another situation, but feeling hopeless and there's no escape. And they are in the mindset that it would be better if I just wasn't here. Would you pray for them?
Yes.
And would you share with them?
There is no such a thing as hopelessness. There's always a choice, and God is real. And if you call upon Him, He will answer you. Mm-hmm. As much as the enemy will bring discouragement to you, if you can truly just know that there is hope. And I'm going to pray. Father, we come before you in the mighty and in the powerful name of Jesus. And I just ask you right now where this person, Lord, or these ones, Lord, are feeling absolutely hopeless, Lord, and they're even contemplating on suicide. Father, we take authority over the spirit of suicide right now, and we command it to be broken over their lives in the mighty and the powerful name of Jesus. And we thank you, Holy Spirit, that you would get a hold of them, that you would bring peace, Lord. Your peace would come beyond understanding, Lord, that you would bring someone in their path, Lord, that you would bring, you would speak to them supernaturally, Father, and that they would know that there is hope in you, Jesus. Mm-hmm. And so, Father, we pray for salvation over them. We pray for peace over them. And we thank you, Lord, for deliverance over them, Father God, from that spirit of suicide. Mm-hmm. We command that broken over them in the mighty name of Jesus. Mm-hmm. And we speak hope, Lord, in the place of hopelessness. And we thank you, Lord, for the blood of Jesus upon them, Father, in Jesus' name. And we pray for your change, the spiritual atmosphere of where they are, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, that they could make right choices, Father. Father, we thank you and praise you for this in Jesus' name.
Jesus' name, thank you. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much for sharing time with us, for giving us the real story of your struggle and God's faithfulness to you. And we wish all the best and know that God will use you to speak a prophetic word over the nations He's calling you to. And we just bless you and we pray for you, and we thank you so much for being on our show.
Thank you.
Amazing and inspiring words from Jessica Harrison. There is no better time than right now to share the love of Christ with someone. Much like they shared with Jessica, they may not want it, hear it, but they need it. And you can share that with them. If you haven't accepted Jesus yourself, right now is the perfect time to open your heart. Visit thegoodlifehawaii.com. Click on Get to Know Jesus for more information on that. If you would like to help us with your financial support, make a donation, thegoodlifehawaii.com. Go to partners. We'd really appreciate that. Deuteronomy 31:8 says, "The Lord Himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged." It's always a blessing to be with you. Thank you to Jessica Harrison. Until next time, along with our guest coordinator, Suzanne Maher, technical producer, Chaz Antai, web designer, Arlen Nagata, I'm Lani Ka'a, sitting in for Danny Yamashiro. Remember, the Lord is with you. Let Him unleash your God-given purpose today.
Has been a blessing for you. The Good Life Radio program is listener-supported, and we'd like to encourage you to pray about becoming a sponsor or donor. Your support makes it possible for us to continue to minister to God's people through The Good Life. To become a sponsor or to make a donation, please visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. That's thegoodlifehawaii.org. And may God richly bless you with The Good Life.